when you're ready.
Volunteer.
We'll reconvene our meeting, and Mr. Cavio has agreed to give us our invocation today.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this awesome day. Lord, I just pray that you're with us this afternoon and let us see your work. Our brains, Lord, and get out of your way and do what you're trying to do. Lord, I thank you and I ask for prayer of protection, prayer of healing for those of you.
Amen. Thank you. Do we have any guests today?
Yes, Tommy Alvarado, and she's here with the leadership class. She's wanting to do some leadership work.
Very good. Welcome. Oh. All right. This time, the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda. And I do not see anyone. So, therefore, we will continue on to our routine matters. You've all had a chance to read those, I believe, in your books and in your communications. So I'd entertain a motion to approve those routine matters. Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. No unfinished business, new business. On the agenda will be the COVID-19 response status.
All right. We're on number 23. And just quickly going through this, you can tell that in our county, in our service area, around Howard County, that we are really seeing very positive things. Not the positive that's been the negative in the past. Positive in that we don't have a lot of positive cases, and so you see that our numbers have really gone down. And so what you're going to see mainly in this status report, you're going to see what's left in blue is a lot of the CARES Act activity that's going on, a lot of reporting. Brenda and group have been very involved in a lot of that, and it continues and it will continue until the completion of all the money. We have to have it all accounted for by June of 23, right, Brenda? And so we're working on all the different aspects of that, and you'll be hearing more about that in the months ahead. So when you go through again, there's not a lot. When you move back into the section as far as what we're doing, mainly what we're trying to do right now is we continue to monitor what's going on at the prison, and things are beginning to move back to some kind of normalcy at the prison, and that's very good for all kinds of reasons, obviously. First and foremost, because we're being able to train our student prisoners and at the student inmates, and at the same time, it's in the base year, which is great. But we also, this time of year, is when we are also making plans for how we do the awards convocations, how we do graduation ceremonies. We're also planning for next year as far as how many sections we need for certain courses, and that, of course, has been impacted by what we're going to be able to do in rooms based on social distancing and all those kinds of things. And so there's a lot of planning that is very definitely immediate kinds of scenario as far as with our events, but then for next year as well. And so we've already had some of our special events. We had our awards convocation and Phi Theta Kappa induction on our San Angelo campus, and it was a great event. We had good participation. We had our GED graduation, family was able to attend and just trying to kind of get back into some normalcy, but at the same time, trying to be respectful of what we know can happen. And so we've learned to be flexible, and we're pretty good at it, but, I mean, you know, you just know to be flexible and to watch, and I think we as a society have learned to watch all that. As a result of that, one of the things that I'm ready to recommend that we do is that we move out of amber status and go into yellow status. You know, we were trying to start our year off that way, and then it actually had planned that way last fall or last summer, and then we had the surge, and then we reverted back, and we've had to do that a couple of times this year with the amber. But that's why we created the alert status level, so that it would allow us to be flexible and move in and out of stages as necessary. And so really, what is, of course, you're probably asking yourself, well, so what is the difference in those? And if you'll remember, there's not a lot of difference between a lot of the things that we do in the classroom setting. I mean, there is some more flexibility, but also there's movement on campus. You know, I never thought I would be telling people don't go around and visit each other, but, you know, that's basically what we've been experiencing with the pandemic. Don't meet in group, you know, do Zoom, you know, really trying to tamp down on social contact and people being around each other. And then obviously what we were doing with our graduation and award ceremonies last year. But the yellow allows us to begin to move more back into a normal, it's not normal, because remember, green is when we're really back to normal. But it allows us to start having more social contact and also moving forward with some of our ceremonies. And so I'm comfortable. I just did a quick email with our task force last Friday. If they were comfortable with, if anybody was, you know, if we were having anxiety, obviously we watch our numbers. I've commented several times that Rhonda, and she's got a team of people that work with her, Mike Hemeter from the San Angelo campus, and Shannon from the SWID campus, and then Christy is also working with her from the Big Spring campus, as well as Fabian and some of his folks also involved in all that. But things have just settled down dramatically. And so I just felt like it was time for us to move into that yellow alert status, and they concurred with me. And so that's what I wanted to report to y'all today, and we'll go forward with that. At the same time, no, again, the authority that you gave us back with this alert status last summer or whenever we came up with that, we have the ability to fluctuate very, very quickly. So if things start changing, then we'll very quickly adapt, and we'll continue to watch what's happening across the district.
So that, yes. Mind if I share? We have not had a case added to the spreadsheet since over a month.
Good. So, I'm very comfortable with us moving forward with that. Okay.
Thank you very much. Our next item is the cabinet recommendations.
Okay. I would recommend for your consideration the renewal of the cabinet positions. Amy Burchett is the Executive Vice President. Brenda Claxton is the CFO, Controller. Steve Smith is the CBO, Internal Auditor. Fabian Serrano, Chief Operations and Safety Security Officer. Rhonda Koenig, Chief Human Resource Officer. Eric Hansen, Chief Technology Systems Data Security Officer. Pam Callen, Executive Dean Sanangelo, and Danny Campbell, Executive Dean Squibb.
Okay. Have a motion to approve these recommendations?
I'll make a motion.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
And let me just publicly say that I'm very proud of them. They all do a great job, and they do a great job for Howard College and every day. So, thank you.
Okay, the granting of an honorary degree.
All right. We have allowed through our policy the ability to be able to do an honorary degree for a student who loses their life in the last semester before they graduate. And we don't like it when we have this opportunity to come up. But we put it in place years ago because of the fact that, unfortunately, occasionally, this will happen. And we, as you know, Randy Canterbury, who is one of our Tech Teach students, she was scheduled to graduate in May, and she lost her life in a tragic accident over by Grady on March the 7th. Her little girl, Sydney, was in that same accident and has been in the hospital, just got home, from what we understand, just last week. And so the family has been going through, obviously, a very, very traumatic time. And so we are still, we've been keeping in contact with the family, but yet we're also wanting to let them keep processing through this. Obviously, there's a lot. Not only does little Sydney have physical progress that she's having to work through, but she has that emotional side as well. And so we want to go forward with asking your approval for this honorary degree that would be given at the graduation ceremony in May. I did talk with Roger actually on Friday and asked him if we could hold off on the media yet as we keep working with the family and get them to the right place as far as where when they're ready. And our instructor, who was very close with them, Dana Pinnell, with Randy, is keeping in touch with the family, and so we'll start that process of visiting with them. But again, we're trying to be sensitive to the journey that they're going through. So we don't know. They have not had the memorial service for Randy yet, waiting for little Sydney to keep making progress, and so they still have that ahead of them. And so there's just it's just a very difficult time for the family. We don't know if they, they may want to share it at the memorial, graduation, both. We just don't know. But we're going to, with your approval, we'll start then working on that since we know little Sydney is home, and we've been trying to keep close tabs on when they're going to do the memorial, and just trying to let the family work through things.
Do I have a motion to approve this honorary degree?
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. That's very encouraging. Nothing for Lamisa or San Angelo or Squibb, so we'll go into performance measure not come. Excess.
Yes. Performance, we don't have anything on 1, 2, or 3, but on number 4, performance excellence, we do have the small class reports. And several people work on these. In particular, Mary Wallace has involvement on that, and she's on our San Angelo campus, works with Pam. And then and Amy also highly involved in all of the campus administrators. And so you've had an opportunity to look at those. It's all it, this is about is you review it. This is what you do on a semester basis to see what our small class report looks like. And so you have, that's what we've shared for you to review.
Okay, thank you.
Hi.
Next item on the agenda is purchasing for SWID.
All right, we have several items in this section, and as Steve comes forward, let me just say that this is kind of the beginning. As y'all know, we have several things that are in movement. They're kind of going on in the background, and you're gonna start having things that we're gonna be bringing to the board meeting for your approval. Some of this was set in motion by budget decisions last summer. But this particular one will reflect that, and it is the SWID Seal Coat project. So, Steve, you want to take that and explain?
Well, we worked in conjunction with the city of Goose Spring on their streets that they were doing, and so it was all put out under the city's bid. The bid was constructed so that other people could join. And so what you've got in front of you is an interlocal agreement with the city of Goose Spring that lets Howard College jump on the back of that bid. And so there is an interlocal agreement that's there and a resolution. The resolution references the Exhibit A, which is the interlocal agreement that was from the city. And then also, you have the bid that's recommended, the Ronald R. Wagner and Company, to do the sweeping, the asphalt, and the aggregate for a total of $88,532.51 that we're recommending that comes from district funds for, and that would be for SWID. Well, it would be for SWID. It would be SWID funds. But anyhow, and that's through the interlocal agreement.
And that was one of the budgeted projects last summer, and so.
Hey, you want to go ahead and take all three of these at once?
Okay, sure. And the other one then is the exterior building painting project. I contacted one of the people that are listed on that on the document. I called them and told them we were doing it. We only had one. Person that responded that it was Hagler that's out of Abilene. Hagler did painting, has done a lot of work on this campus. They did the many of the buildings in the Bond project, and they're someone that we really, really like and has worked on this campus before and has done a really, really good job. Although there was only one response to it, we're very happy that they were the one that responded it. And so, we would have loved all the other people. I don't know that, but Hagler is, I don't think there's any problem with just having in this particular case. And
okay.
So they are ready to go, and they will start as soon as they will start. As far as the admin building for Old Main East and Old Main South, and the Calvary Street. And that would be the exterior bricks that would be painted. They'll power wash it, they'll put the primer on, they'll do the brick, and then they'll do all the fascia and everything else.
And I might just also point out to the board, some of the tuck pointing had happened over at the fitness center already. What, last couple years, Fabian? It was the year before. And so, and I know we did, I looked at Terry first because we did some tuck pointing during the bond project, but then we came back and we did some work over at the fitness center. And so it's ready to go.
Okay.
Did you want me to go ahead and speak to that, Tassie, as well?
Yes, please.
Yes.
That is an interlocal agreement that we have with Tassie. We utilize several of their programs, a lot of it through HR, that utilizes things such as workers' comp and all that. It also gives us an opportunity to use their attorneys, their staff attorneys, when we have questions if we don't want to. For some reason, we only use our group out of Austin, and that's an interlocal agreement.
Do I have a motion to approve these?
So move.
Have a motion. Any discontent with any of them? I'd probably need a second.
Second.
And second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. No handbook changes.
No, sir.
New position.
Okay. I mentioned at the last board meeting that I would be bringing back a full-time position, and that we, as far as working in the accounting area, and we are still working on some of the details relative to that full-time position, but very close on that. Wanted your approval today, since I didn't have it on the agenda last time. Wanted it to be on the agenda today for you to approve. And then also a part-time position that has been in our student accounting department, that we had a person in that job for a while, part-time. We're very fortunate to have that person, and then they had to leave for personal reasons, and we have not been able to find anybody part-time that is willing to take that job, and so wanting to take that part-time job to full-time so that we can have a staff accountant. So because the part-time position is actually in the budget right now, but because it would be going to full-time, go ahead and bring it now. And then also that other position that we're working on that will work directly in Brenda's area. Need those to be approved, and that way we can get both of those posted and moving along.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve this new position?
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Construction renovation projects.
Okay. Terry will come forth, and we'll start with, there's going to be, Terry and Fabian Bowes are going to be working this particular section, but we'll have Terry start on the roofing and then the library and music. I'll make the point that we have a little facility team that is working on all aspects of some of this, and but Terry's taking the lead on that roofing, the roofing project. Others involved. Steve is doing RFPs right and left as we're working through all these different projects, the library music building. And so Terry will give you the roofing stuff. Then he'll move right into the library and music building, where we're at on that, and there's going to be a process on that. And, again, some stuff that you will be, some action items that you will be dealing with at the April board meeting and at the May board meeting. So he'll kind of explain the process there.
Okay, the roofing work is coming on very well. We're all finished at SWID, as I know that you already know. And at this point in time, the work over here is, while we're waiting on materials to come in to finish several of the buildings that are very close to being finished, we are focusing on both buildings. And we were up, Phil Parkland, Vernon Dunnigan, our two architects, and myself, Martin Riley, WCR. We were up on Turner Hall, Wayman's dorm, this morning. That's already been, the old roof has been removed, the insulation put down, base sheet, and they are now trying to do those same things at Turner Hall. They're about half through removing the old roof. Insulation will go down, the base sheet will go down, and then when they put the new cap sheet on, which is the top, the one that is both exposed to the weather, they'll do both dorms at the same time. Material supplies are very problematic right now. We're waiting on some metal, some coating materials, just various things that the suppliers just can't get them to us. Talking to Martin Riley with WCR, you know, this morning about the change orders 5 and 6 that you approved, and those are both on the Coliseum for the metal and the re-roofing of the lower area. Martin told me he still does not have delivery dates on those materials. He said that they're supposed to get an availability report either the last couple of days of this month or maybe the first couple of days of April, and we'll know where we are in terms of getting those materials on site. If you look at the roofing report, one thing that's been kind of interesting on both dorms, the roof runs were completely clogged with coal tar pitch. And so those old clogged pipes had to be cut out and then replaced. And so some of that was behind suspended ceiling like this is pretty easy. Some of it was behind hard ceilings, deep rock ceilings. A little more work involved there because of the putback being recorded. That work is already all done. The roof on Turner Hall was the enormous. WCR, their work is it's as good as I've ever seen. And this is the third time, I think, done roofing projects for the college. So I'm very, very, very. Okay. Any questions on the roofing? You want me to go ahead and go into the music library?
Yes, please.
Okay. We started, actually a lot of this work started a long, long time ago, but of late, we had Inez Corral and Corral Engineering Environmental Engineering come in and do asbestos testing on both buildings. This had been done a long time ago. There were some things missed, and so we're going to be doing some more abatement in both of those buildings. I think that technology has just continued to get better, and some of that work was done back in the 80s. And so we'll be doing abatement in both of those buildings. The abatement bids, which are being prepared by Inez Corral, will be released on April 1st. I think may have kind of tweaked these dates.
He's right here. He moved on you.
Tweak these dates just a little bit. April 1st on the abatement bid, about the middle of April, maybe the 15th, we'll release the bids on the renovation for both buildings. We've got Phil Perkin, our architect, working on the music building, and Park Hill working on the renovation plans for the library. And those bids, like I say, will be released about the middle of April and open in a few days after that. The music building will be released to Fabian Company, and Fabian's working with all the inhabitants of those buildings to get everything they want, which is no easy task. We'll tell you, we've been through that a lot in the bond project. But Fabian's got all that lined out. We'll release the music building for abatement on May 16th, and then the library on May 27th. We hope to get a little better deal because the abatement contractor will already be on site and do both buildings with one mobilization. And I think that's going to help us with cost just a little bit. And the music building renovation, we're saying the construction or renovation will start about June 30th and on both buildings. And we're thinking the library will take about 6 or 7 months and the music building probably a full 9 months to complete. So any questions?
Just to kind of add to, because again, you're going to be having some sizable things to look at for that April board meeting and then the May board meeting. And again, this is just all the build-up, what we've been working on in the background. The asbestos abatement was not something that we had anticipated because, as Terry said, that was we'd handled that back in the 80s, but we went ahead and thought we needed to check it out, make sure that everything was up to current standards. And as Terry said, we found that we were short on some areas. So that was not a part of the, you know, we've got donors on these buildings, and that was not something we had intended for them to pay for, so that is something that we're going to have to be absorbing as an institution. And at the same time, you'll remember we had, in the budget, we had put aside some money for 3 transformers, and that's something that Fabian has been working with PSC on that. And one more time, it's what, 18 months, Fabian, on getting transformers in? So we're not even going to be able to accomplish that project in this year. So we're going to have to be looking forward. So, as y'all know, I've shared that timeline that we keep up with, and so we're seeing those transformers. That's going to end up having to go into another budget, probably not next year's budget, probably the next year's budget, but we're going to be in a scenario that we're going to try to be able to come forward and have you approve it so we can get the things ordered. And been visiting with Brenda, and then, you know, how we would account for it and, you know, what we would do. But that also gives us some flexibility on some funds that we could use for the abatement. That, and plus we've got some money for that we could use that would work toward this as well. So that'll be the first thing up. You'll be seeing that. As Terry said, there's lots of activity going on. Fabian is working with the instructional group. Figuring out things. At the same time, the Coliseum, we've got to think in terms of events. That's going to impact anything we try to do in the East Room, because the library's going to live in the East Room for a while. And so we've talked with, for example, the elections. The elections are held in the East Room. And we've been talking with Jody Duck and making sure that everything's good with her. We'll get past these May elections without a problem, and then probably the November election then would be in the foyer of the Coliseum, and she's good, everything's good, and we're trying to organize all that. So there's a lot of activity that's going on, and so you'll be seeing these numbers coming forward. One of the things that Terry, you might want to mention a little bit of the concern that's being expressed by one of the architects about potential return on cost.
Yeah, it really kind of, it ties in a way to the material delivery. We were told by one of our architects that there are contractors and suppliers that are seeing costs in some cases rise as much as 10%. So do the mental math on that and see what that does over 6 months, 8 months, a year. It's pretty scary when we have, budgeted or planned amounts of money to spend on these projects. It can be really impactful. But that's something that, certainly outside of our control, it's just what's happening. I'm sure if you watch prices at Walmart, and I'm not talking just gasoline prices, but even food and everything else, things that you were paying, a certain price for a few months ago, maybe up 25 or more percent. And the cost of fuel is driving a lot of that, too, because of getting it from the suppliers to the retail outlets. So it is very concerning, and as Dr. Sparks said, one of our architects mentioned last week, I think, that really getting worried about what that's going to be to our costs.
What our bids are going to look like when they come in. But we're trying to stay ahead of it and keep moving forward.
Back to knock and show up.
Yep.
And we asked, you know, is this a temporary thing, and can we expect to see prices maybe moderate a little bit or even go back down? And, you know, at this point, nobody knows.
Yeah. So, I want y'all all to have an awareness of that, but we're just going forward and with our, you know, our plan to see what comes forward. Fabian, you want to come on up now, and the next one on the Diagnostic Center for SWID kind of, there may be a dual role here in a minute, but go ahead, Fabian.
So we started working on the process of demolishing the Diagnostic Center at SWID. Last month, early February, Inez Corral completed the asbestos testing, and he did find asbestos under the carpet, which is in the vinyl tiles, the wall panels, ceiling panels in the mechanical room, and then also in the pipe installation. So, as Terry was mentioning, we want to proceed with the asbestos abatement of the music building and the library building. We feel like if we can package those three up, that would give us a better deal. Sure, we'll be with that.
And so, I would remind you, also, we had in the budget for the demolition of the SWID dorm, it is used to be the dorm, Diagnostic Center. And so we are anticipating, in fact, at one point, we were going down the path of putting something out that would be a abatement and demolition of the building, because actually Inez had mentioned that could be a good approach. But just his initial guesstimates, probably better than guesstimates, told us that we'd be over budget. And so we started going down the path in, well, we at least get it abated. This time, this year, we still, as far as possibly working with the city, because we had talked with them last summer about possibly at some point working together on some demolitions in the community, after we were able, once the landfill opened and, you know, things were beginning to move along. So anyway, you look at it, an abatement has to be done. And so we decided the best thing to do was to go ahead and include, somebody needs to mute. We needed to include the abatement into this, the other two, since we're going to be doing the music in the library. And so the way, Steve, are you making it where there are three separate ones, or how did you do that?
And I believe they went out 5 years. They were separate.
Okay.
Because of the funding was good.
Okay. Okay. So that gives us.
So the Howard is the music building and the library. And
all right. That'll give us the ability if we wanted to reject the SWID one for some reason. Don't know that why we would, but we could. And but we feel like that, as Fabian was saying, it's like everybody will be mobilized and we have a better chance of getting a better price. So that's what's happening on that. Okay. So we'll be bringing those back to you.
All right.
I mentioned, because it might be shocking, when the music building is abated, because part of the abatement is removing the windows, they do have, the glazing does contain asbestos. So when those windows are removed, preparing the building for new windows, that building will be boarded up. So just be aware that it's going to look different, you know, from the time it's abated until the new windows get installed. So.
Some types of when it was abated in the 80s, did we get some type of certificate that said our work was, what I'm trying to ask is, will we get something once it's abated that guarantees that 10 years from now, it's not?
That's a good question. I will tell you, the library has a case in point. The library has a blown-on acoustic ceiling, and like a popcorn ceiling, if you will. And there had been leaks, there was water damage, really impossible to fix it and make it look right. So So in our infinite wisdom in the 80s when we abated that ceiling and it did have asbestos in it, we went back with the popcorn ceiling, partly because it was probably the least expensive way to go back. Now it's looking like, and there are some stained places again, so we're thinking about, or we're planning on going back with the suspended ceiling just ever so slightly, just enough room to have light fixtures, and it'll give us a space to run wiring and other things, but you know, above the lay-in ceiling and the hard ceiling. So we will get all kinds of paperwork, and we have a file drawer in the vault that's probably about this records from, because you get, when you do abatement, you have to file with the state and tell them you're going to do it. It's like a 2-week notice, advance notice, which is advertised. And then they do containment. Everybody that works on the project is certified that they know how to work with, safely work with asbestos. We'll get all those records. We will get all the air. They will monitor the air quality before, during, and after. We'll get all those records, and then we'll get basically a clean bill of health on the part that was abated. You know, that if there's 20 years from now, if they should find it somewhere else, I can't imagine where else it could be. But anyway, that's what we will get back, and the guidelines on that is to keep those records for 30 years. And as Dr. Spark said, we did a lot of this work in the 80s. And when I was looking through that file report, it's a lateral file about this long, a lot of those records had comments on them that, you know, it could be destroyed after 2017. I talked to John.
Yeah.
And I can't even think of that thing.
John Drew.
John Drew. That we had worked with back in the 80s, and he said, yeah, he said, if you didn't destroy him, he said that. Yeah. So we're, you know, that's our plan. You know, we'll keep it.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, our next item on the agenda is Student Information Systems Project Implementation Update.
All right, that's Eric. Eric, you want to come forward with the student information update? And Amy's right there to be your sidekick.
I don't know if she's here or not.
Good morning or afternoon.
And they do have this. They did receive this, Eric, so in their...
No, they're going to admit what's up. I'm right or wrong. We have given them a set of our data. They have been doing data passes for the data migration, and we have a meeting set up this Friday. They're coming to San Angelo, and we're going to sit down and just... kind of back and forth so that they can understand our data a little bit better. And the idea is they want to get a clean data pass. They're planning on doing this 2 or 3 times, depending on how clean we can get it. And they want to get this first data pass clean, and then they want to start doing some training. And they're kind of the methodology they're going to use is, they want to do some like brief overview with our staff offices, get them familiar with what the software looks like, and then they'll come back and do some more in-depth training. So that's what they've had success with in the past, and so and they're just getting in and getting it done. And so I think they're wanting to have all the data conversion done by July, and they're wanting to start they're going to be starting with admissions, and then they're going to be working down, because they have to be in admissions to become a student before some of the other modules can even work. And so that's the way they're going to progress through the data. And I think on that schedule, I think it was in May where they had training schedules. Is that right?
April.
April.
I think that's right. Oh, module training. Yeah, April 11th.
Mm-hmm. Is that admission?
And then, oh, I'm sorry, admissions module. That's it. Here, if you want to look. The acceptance of the data.
Too many dates, so.
Yeah, there are lots of dates going on.
Yeah, okay, yeah. They're going to start with the admissions module training in April. And then, data review was what was in May.
Yeah.
And so they're going to start the trainings, and then they'll do the brief introductions to the modules, and then in May is when they'll get people in to really start in-depth training and for them to be seeing Howard College data in the module, where they'll start going in and doing processing to make sure that what they see in our current system matches.
You might also touch on what's going on with the servers.
The servers have been ordered, and we're waiting for shipping, and we paid for them to go ahead and put the servers together, and so we're waiting for estimates on shipping, and then to them, and then final shipping of the completed servers. We haven't heard back yet, but the PO has been put in, and the orders have been sent to Hewlett Packard.
And if for some reason we get into a scenario with the servers, because just like everything else we've been talking about today, there is delay in all areas of the supply chain. And IT is another one. I mean, you order computers, and it may be a while. In fact, we ordered some computers, back in December, and they came in last week, a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, everything is just, the supply chain is really bogged down. But when we talked to them the other day, we talked in terms of, we think that we could have, those servers can be here. Steve, you haven't heard anything this morning. No. And so we're just waiting. And we could end up doing a cloud-based scenario with
we use a company in Houston called Quasar Data Systems, and We have some servers there, and we had talked about hosting these there, but we just weren't. They're very read and write intensive, and so we're not real confident on the speed between the two systems, and so. But 3D Technologies, who's helping with the implementation. If they think if the servers are going to be more than about 6 weeks out, they want to go ahead and get started down there, because the servers that they have set us up on right now for them to do the data conversion, you know, they're not comfortable with getting a bunch of users on them. So we're kind of waiting to see what the shipping times are going to be. And if it's longer than 6 weeks, we're going to start looking at temporarily hosting it until we get the service.
So we can keep moving. But they told us the other day that they were kind of pleasantly surprised at how well the data went over.
They said that they have been able to, the things that they've been able to, I think what they're trying to do is they're just trying to get demographic data and, you know, just the basic records. And they were pleased with what they were able to do, and then the rest of it is what we're going to be, they're going to be asking me questions, and then, you know, as we're working through the questions, they'll be making changes on Friday to hopefully get it as clean as possible, and then they want to try to finish that so that they can start getting the admissions people trained.
So that's what's going on with 3D technology. You know, they're the ones that are implementing for thesis, and so that's moving along well. And then we're also going to start having, and I haven't seen my emails today, but we were trying to finalize, Amy, Eric, and I will be meeting with the thesis people, Anita, on a monthly basis, just to see how things are moving along. So things are going. We're feeling good about it.
Thank you, Eric. Our next item is the President's Report. I'll let you take it to the end, if you would, please.
Yes, sir, I will do that. Okay, so the main thing then at this point, you know, talking about upcoming activities as well as recognitions, and this is the time of year, and we've got some events we're still finalizing into May, because, you know, graduation will be that May 12th, 13th time frame. But at the same time, we'll be having pinnings and that kind of thing. So we're going to get you an extended calendar quickly so that you can have it for your planning purposes. But you can, as far as looking at where we are right now, you can tell, again, just lots of things going on relative to, we've got a lot of spring sports going on. We have the recitals, a lot of music things happening, theater. And so those are outlined for you. We have one recital this Thursday. And we also have the Howard College Foundation, Big Spring Foundation. So those are of you that are on that. Freeman, Barr, Morgan, you'll have that event. We have the rodeos going on. We have the electrical initiative. We talked to you about that ribbon cutting last month, and that's going to happen next Monday down in San Angelo. And then, again, I'm just trying to pick up on the highlights here. The awards convocation for the Big Spring campus is scheduled for the 19th. It's going to be at 6:30, and it's going to be for Big Spring and La Mesa students. And we're going to be handling that a little differently, and we'll be getting some information out to you about that. The Howard College Rodeo is the 21st through the 23rd. And so, as you know, our rodeo students, they mainly are doing their thing all over for 10 rodeos, except the one when they're here. And so we really try to support those kids when we have that. The trash offs, we're beginning to get involved in trash offs in the different communities, and to work with the different communities as far as what's going on in those areas. And the one in the Big Spring area will be on the 22nd. We have discussed the fact that the symphony is hosting the Marie Osmond concert at the Coliseum on the 23rd. There's a lot of activity going on that, a lot of pre-planning that's happening, front working with the front people, and so there was a lot of activity on that this weekend. Julie was visiting with some of them about some of that, so we're trying to move ahead with that. Your next board meeting is on the 25th. And then you can see we have some other already you can put on your calendars. We do have the SWID Foundation meeting for Dr. Freeman, Flores, and Sajic. We have the musical that will be that weekend, as well as we're going to be doing some we always try to focus on the different sports when we can, and so we'll have a baseball day on the 29th, and softball will be on the 6th. There'll be more about that. We'll tell you, and again, I'm hoping we can get that calendar information to you very quick so you can get it on your calendars as far as those next couple of weeks taking you through. And actually, this would be a good time for me to ask. I know I've mentioned it to some of you. We had originally had planned to have the May board meeting. It was going to be on the 16th because we needed to get in the vote canvassing after the election that would have been held on the 7th had we had an election. But as y'all know, you canceled the election. Because we only have one individual, Raul, who will be in that position, and the others as well. And so we can actually wait until what would have been your regularly scheduled board meeting in May, which would have been the 23rd. And so with all the things that are going on with all this construction stuff, if it works with your calendars, it would really probably help to have that extra week if that works with your calendars. So does that work for everybody to wait till your regular meeting of the 23rd as opposed
to the same
meeting? That's for
me. Okay. Well, then we're going to plan accordingly, and then we'll get your calendar update out to you. Recognitions, we've got students that are doing great things everywhere. As I mentioned already, we had our Phi Theta Kappa induction on the San Angelo campus a few weeks back. We're going to be having the Big Spring one going forward. At the same time, both of those chapters did receive recognition for being a REACH chapter. That means they've gone above and beyond. And so as a result, we get a certain extra stoles that we're able to use for graduation for those students that are in Phi Theta Kappa. Had mentioned last time that we were very proud of Coach Adams and what was going on for him with Texas Tech, and we all know that they made it to the game with Duke. There were a lot of people, I think, that had mixed emotions. A lot of people wanted Mark to win, but also they knew the Duke coach, this is his last year, and he's kind of an icon. And so
referees gave that to him.
Yep. So Tech did lose, but barely.
We're playing 8-5.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, but for those of you who were really following all of that, Howard College's name got mentioned a bunch. And
when was he here, Mark Adams? How long ago was that?
Oh, good night. We won in 2010.
10.
And so, yeah. So he was here like 14 years, something. He was here
a long time.
And the thing about Mark actually started here as an assistant back in 70, probably 78, something like that. He was assistant with the basketball coach, or yes, the basketball program, plus he was student activities director. And so he was here for a while, and then anyway, went on his journey, ended up back at Howard College. So has a lot of experience at Howard College. But nevertheless, I wanted to share that one article, because at the same time that all this was going on about what was happening with Mark Adams and you know, things are, he's on the big stage and all kinds of things that are, you know, being said. Jay Crowder, I had mentioned also at the last meeting, who was being inducted into the NJCAA Hall of Fame. And, of course, the Phoenix Suns are doing really well. And finally, in one article, they connected up and they pulled Jay in. And so I wanted you to see that article. So Jay Crowder is talking about his time at Howard College and when he was with Coach Adams and all that. So we've had a lot of comments about Howard College, so that's been a good thing. So at the same time, we also have some students in our rodeo program, some alums that they're making their name, too, in the big lights. And we wanted to share some information relative to Katie Jo Gordon, who is one of our students that has also done well and has participated in some a showdown. And so there's some information about that if you want to look at that. And then Dalton Castle, who was, as y'all know, our bull rider that went to the NRA. And also, he is making it big, and we've got some of those articles in there about how Dalton is doing. And so we've got a lot, and there are numerous students. We just like to, as we have things happen, we like to bring this up, you know, students that are doing well. And so those are just some recent articles I wanted y'all to be aware of. We also have been recognized as a military-friendly school, college again, and we got a letter from Ted Cruz as one of our senators recognizing that, and so that word's beginning to get out. My chemister on our San Angelo campus is purely responsible for all that work, and of course everybody is involved, everybody's a team, but wanted you to know that we did well with that, and he's responsible for getting all that into the to the system for us to be selected. I think that's all the student and recognitions that I was going to bring up today. Moving on to legislative and general updates, as you know, we have the commission continues. There's a lot of subgroup meetings going on with that. On April the 6th, there will be a big meeting of the commission, and then it'll just continue. They're getting closer to, again, making the recommendations. One of the things that we do know, they are really focusing on workforce development. And it kind of ties in with, as I move on to building a talent-strong Texas, we also have the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board has been working on an updating of the strategic plan, the 60 by 30 Texas plan, and just released a document this past week that takes us from 2022 into 2030. And they have updated some areas, and it's kind of interesting how they've updated and how it ties in to what we're hearing the commission talk about. One of the things that they've done, a focus it's going to, that they're going to have, is instead of it just being a focus on 25 to 34-year-olds, it's now going up to 64-year-olds. So there's an emphasis on anyone over the age of 25, not just that younger age group, anybody trying to get them workforce ready with the change in the Texas economy. The second thing that they're really focusing in on is credentials and looking at credentials in a different way. They're wanting things to translate into value. That then kind of ties into what we're hearing that commission talk about as far as not just necessarily a focus only on degrees. In the past, there hasn't been as much of a value placed at the state level on credentials, short-term training, that kind of thing. That seems to be changing, and that seems to be a focus that, and you will have, I'm hoping you've noticed that we have been doing that. Some of the things we brought to you last month, that's the kinds of things we're trying to do because we're reading what's happening, we're trying to align with it, and we see that being kind of a change as far as what the emphasis is going to be. So we'll see how the commission ties in with that. And, of course, ultimately then we're going to be seeing what the legislature will do with funding. We do know that the chairman of on the Senate side for public ed and higher ed, they're combining it, it appears, is going to be Senator Creighton, and so that's already, that activity is beginning to happen down in Austin as far as the emphasis as we move into the next session, because it's going to, the summer, we're about to, I hate to say the word, Brenda, LAR, but we're about to have to move into preparing the LAR, let's appropriation request, and then we move into the session. So those are things that are happening legislatively and then what's happening with the strategic plan. And I had mentioned in the middle of all this, we also have a change in leadership for the Texas Association of Community Colleges. Jacob Friary, who has been our executive for, I don't know how many years now, six maybe, three or four sessions, three for sure, anyway, he is moving back to El Paso. El Paso is home, and he's moving back there. And so the association is in the process. We're working on an interim. I'll be getting word to you about that. And we're coming up with an intermediate plan because of the timing of this when we're right in the middle of the commission. Jacob will work with TAC through May, and we're trying to get an interim quickly so that they can kind of work in tandem, and we can have Jacob can then go on and do what he needs to do, and we can continue moving on with the efforts that we've got going on. So that's all that I have, Mr. Chairman and board members. If you've looked at your April agenda, you can tell it's going to be pretty substantive, and that's why we're trying to kind of give you a head start on some of these things that we're working on. Tuition and fees, room and board, those are things that we'll be bringing to you in April. We're doing some studies on that. We're working, continuing to do the faculty pay work, working on that. So just there's a lot of activity behind the scenes, and but it's going to be up in front of you for approval before too long.
Very good. Thank you very much. I don't have anything to report. So by the authority granted by the state of the governor of Texas, adjourned.
Thank you. I'm hanging up.
We're sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang up.